pause there. Okay, go. Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 1 May 2025, 2 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 John. 2 John. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Before we get started, I want to remind you that the evangelism team will be at Child Haven this Saturday from 10:30 to 12:30. There will be two classes. It'll be with the elementary age girls and the elementary age boys. I encourage you to pray for them that God might use this to bring many sons into glory. That's this Saturday. And we have the Las Ventanas update. The Las Ventanas Heaven Special Lesson on Wednesday, April 30th, went very well. We had a good turnout for our 20th Bible class as we played the first half of lesson number 10 in the series. Al Bingham joined us and was very helpful. In this lesson, Pastor Olson taught from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 9, where he described two houses. The believer in Jesus Christ has two houses. A human body, that's really a tent, endemeo, and a resurrection body, ekdemeo. Verse 8 describes having confidence and courage, which is developed through a personal sense of destiny, maintaining the eternal perspective, and being occupied with Christ. After the lesson, the ladies followed along as we read the Grace Gospel message in the purple book. Al led everyone in a closing prayer. To God be the glory as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And as always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. And an update on Jim Myers. The James F. Myers Ministries sharing the word of God with the people of Ukraine. But he's not going to be in Ukraine. He's heading to Africa. He says, we leave today for our 25-day Africa conferences. We fly to Amsterdam and then on to Johannesburg, and then to Lusaka, Zambia. We will be teaching in three different venues in Zambia. Our topic is eschatology, the doctrine of the last things. We will cover the unconditional covenants that God made with Israel, the rapture of the church, the tribulation, the second advent of Christ, the messianic kingdom of the millennium, and then we will teach the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment, and conclude with the eternal state. Pastor Todd Atwood will be going with us this time. After 2 weeks in Zambia, now you see, do you see all the things he's teaching? It would take me 2 years to teach all those things. But he's going to teach it in 2 weeks. After 2 weeks in Zambia, we will fly back to South Africa to hook up with missionaries Tom and Cheryl Molinar. He has lined up to teach classes, has us lined up to teach classes there as well. This trip involves a lot of travel and a lot of teaching. Remember, Jim broke his femur a while back, and the last teaching, it was very, very painful. He couldn't stand, and then he tried sitting, and he couldn't sit. So he says, please be in prayer for us as we go. Pray first of all for safety in travel. Secondly, for protection from any who might seek to harm us. Third, pray for protection from infections, disease, bad food, and bad water. But especially, pray that we will have wisdom as we teach, the ability to make the Word of God understandable and receptive hearts. We are grateful for all of you who support us in this ministry. God's grace is abundant, and we praise the Father who has supplied so abundantly in so many areas so that we are able to continue to take His word to so many places. All by grace. Jim Myers. Second John. It's only 13 verses. That's the first chapter. There are no verses in the second chapter. None in the third, none in the fourth. We've exegeted verses 4 through 6. We'll start with that. I was very happy. I was very happy because I have found that some of your children, when I say children, these aren't the little tykes running around. These are her children that have grown up and married and have their own families now. He says, I have found that some of your children keep on walking in aletheia, absolute truth of the Word of God, just as we have received the mandate to do so from the Father. And as things now stand, great lady, I make a request of you, not as writing to you a new mandate, but the mandate which we have had from the beginning, namely, that we love one another. And that is the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all. And we went through the whole concepts of impersonal love for all. Go over those. verse 6, and this is virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, namely that we keep on walking, living the spiritual life according to the norms and standards of His mandates, God's mandates in the Word of God. And this is the mandate, just as you have heard from the beginning, namely that you should keep on walking in it, in virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all. And then that brings us to the next paragraph, verses 7 through 11, where John gives a warning to all of us concerning false teachers. Now, we have exegeted just a part of verse 7 last time. So far we have this, because many deceivers, the deceivers are false teachers, because many deceivers have gone out into the world. Now the key word here is planos. Looks like that in the Greek, P-L-A-N-O-S, planos. And planos, as an adjective, it means deceitful or leading astray. As a noun, which is what we have in our verse, planos means deceiver, imposter. These are the false teachers that the Apostle John warned about in 1 John, 1 John 4, 1-3, 1 John 2, 18-23. These false teachers teach in the spirit of Antichrist, and they were leading believers astray. They were leading believers away from the spiritual life and into Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. They were not teaching the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures. They distorted the absolute truth of the Word of God into a false theology about the person of Jesus Christ. And this false theology was pure blasphemy. In that day, they called it Gnosticism. But we have the same false doctrine taught today all throughout America. These false teachers rejected and distorted the deity of Jesus Christ, the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ, the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ, the impeccability of Christ, the salvation work of Christ on the cross. So we have, because many deceivers, false teachers, have gone out into the world, the ones who do not acknowledge and do not teach Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. In other words, the rejection of the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. And the key word here is a word that you're familiar with, homologeo. Looks like that in the Greek, H-O-M-O-L-O-G-E, long O, homologeo. And you're familiar with it in 1 John 1:9, the rebound verb, and it means to confess, to admit, to acknowledge your sins to God. And then when you acknowledge your sins to God, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, instantly restoring you to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And in many ways, that first problem-solving device, rebound, is so, so important. Homologao is also a teaching verb. Arnton Gingrich presents this in page 571. And it means to teach, to acknowledge, to declare publicly. With the negative may, these false teachers, these persuasive communicators, do not acknowledge and do not teach orthodox Christology. That's doctrines about the person of Christ. And they don't teach orthodox soteriology, the work of Christ on the cross. And this is absolutely essential. This Sunday is Communion Sunday, and we concentrate on the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. This Sunday, Communion service. The articular participle is substantival. It functions as a noun, and therefore it is correctly translated, the ones who do not acknowledge, the ones who do not teach, those who do not acknowledge and teach. The present tense is a nomic present presenting an axiom of Scripture. And the axiom is this: these false teachers do not acknowledge and do not teach the orthodox doctrines of Christology and soteriology found in the God-breathed Scriptures. The active voice: false teachers perform the action of the verb. The false teachers in John's day, well, they had a name. They were called Gnostics. Gnostics, and they rejected the incarnation and virgin birth, the hypostatic union, the impeccability of Christ, the salvation work of Christ on the cross. And we stopped right about there. Now, what do these false teachers not teach and not acknowledge? That's what we have now: that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. That's the King James, cometh. I know none of you use that word anymore. Cometh thou, Pastor Olson? That Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh, the accusative singular of Jesus Christos. This is the accusative of direct object and transliterated Jesus Christ. They do not acknowledge and they do not teach Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. And coming is the Greek verb erkomai. Looks like this. E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I, erkomai. And erkomai literally means to come. Frequently, erkomai has the sense of to appear, to make an appearance, to come before the public. Here, erkomai includes: one, the incarnation and virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ at the first advent. So erkomai first of all includes the incarnation and virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ at the first advent. Secondly, it includes the present continuance of the risen humanity of Christ. His resurrection and his hypostatic union, undiminished deity and true humanity. And third, as well as his future coming back to earth at the second advent. So erkomai includes the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ at the first advent, his present continuance of his risen humanity, and as well his future coming back to earth at the second advent. And then we have the prepositional phrase "en" plus the dative of sarx, in the flesh, the true humanity. So the corrected translation, Because many deceivers, many false teachers have gone out into the world. The ones who do not acknowledge and who do not teach Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. And then we have, this is a deceiver and an antichrist. We have the demonstrative pronoun houtos, plus the present active indicative of the to-be verb eimi, plus the nominative singular planos repeated with the definite article, plus the conjunction kai with the nominative singular of antichristos. That's, auntie is married to Uncle Christos. Okay, just seeing if you're awake. The conjunction chi with the nominative singular of antichristos with the definite article. Well, we have a demonstrative pronoun, houtos. H-O-U-T-O-S. You see, pastors who study in the original languages, and you're there, back there in that office, studying hour after hour after hour, and you're reading these Greek words in Hebrew, there are things that you just kind of tickle your fancy, and you kind of laugh about it. And then you say, I wonder if I'll mention that when I'm teaching. And I say, no, I probably won't. And then I got up here, and the devil said, yes, go ahead and do it. He made me do it, see. So there you go. The demonstrative pronoun houtos is used as a substantive. It's a noun, and it's correctly translated, this one. And this one refers to the false teacher. And then the to-be verb, eimi, this one, the false teacher, is, what is he? He is planos, we've had that. He is a deceiver, an imposter. These are the false teachers that the Apostle John warned about in the first epistle of John. And I'll refer you and have you look at that again. 1 John 4:1-3. Beloved ones, royal family of God, stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God, but analyze the communicators of God's Word, whether they are from God. Because many false prophets, false teachers, have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. This is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. That is, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges, teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, he is from God. And that's teaching the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, his hypostatic union. But every persuasive speaker, false teacher, who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures, orthodox Christology and orthodox soteriology, absolutely is not from God, the living and true God. Indeed, this false teaching keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist, about whom you have heard that he is coming in the tribulation. But now, right now, in the church age, he, the spirit of Antichrist, false teachers, are already in the world. They keep on being in the world right now. They're all over the United States of America right now. So while this was true in John's day, this is so true. And most of the people in this country listen to and believe these false teachers in our day in America. And then 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 23. 1 John 2:18, children, that is students, it is the last hour. The last hour here refers to that period between the first advent and the second advent of Christ, a very unique period of time. And just as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming in the tribulation, even now in the church age, many Antichrists, believers and unbelievers living in the cosmic system, exist. From this fact, we have come to know that it is the last hour. They went out from us. They separated from us. But they were really not a part of us. For if they had been a part of us, then they would have remained and stayed with us. But second-class condition, they were not a part of us. So they did not stay and remain with us. But they reacted and separated from us for the purpose of being exposed that none of them are a part of us. But in spite of this defection to the cosmic system, you positive believers living the spiritual life, you have the anointing, the indwelling of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit from the Holy One, title of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have come to know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the absolute truth, aletheia, of the Word of God, but because you do know it, and because no lie originates from the absolute truth, aletheia. God is absolute truth. The Word of God is aletheia, absolute truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? And when you say that means Jesus is the Messiah. This one is Antichrist. He's against Christ. The one who denies and repudiates the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son absolutely does not have fellowship with the Son. No filling of the Spirit, no spiritual life. The one who acknowledges the Son, he does have fellowship with the Father. So John's already, these false teachers, John, the Apostle John, warned about in 1 John 4, 1-3, 1 John 2, 18-23. And these false teachers are not only deceivers, but they are also antichristos. 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 That is one. These false teachers are not only deceivers, but they are against Christ. They are against Christ. Two, these false teachers denied that Jesus is the Messiah. They denied that Jesus is the Messiah. And I, like I say, you know my illustrations. I've told them enough times that you know them better than I do. But when Debbie was diagnosed with breast cancer, and the doctor said that we have to do take out the breath completely, totally. Debbie said, okay. Well, this blew this doctor away. And he was Jewish. It blew him away. And he called me up and said, Pastor Olson, can I come over and talk with you? I said, sure. We went back to the office and he said, your wife is going to have surgery and total mastectomy. And she just said, okay, that's, if that needs to be done, it needs to be done. He said, almost everybody I talk to, every woman, they fall apart. They just have a conniption right there. And she was totally relaxed. I said, she is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she knows that God has a perfect plan for her life. A perfect plan. He doesn't make mistakes. This is a part of that plan. And so she's trusting him. She's trusting you doing your job. And he said, Pastor Olson, can I ask you something? I said, sure. And he started whispering, do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? We were the only two in the whole church, well, except for my guardian angel and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I said, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. We were the only ones in there. He goes, I believe he's the Messiah too. I said, great. Have you believed in him? That he paid the penalty for your sins on the cross? If you believe that he paid the penalty for your sins on the cross, and you trust him for eternal salvation, you will live with him forever in heaven because he is the Messiah. He goes, I'm Jewish. If I tell my mother and father that I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, they will disown me. I will no longer be their son. Well, it'll open the door for you to give the gospel to them so they can believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. That may be the best thing that could ever happen. Maybe your whole family will believe in Christ. So point two, these false teachers deny that Jesus is the Messiah. Three, this false theology marked them out as antichristos, antichrist. This false theology marked them out as antichristos, antichrist. Four, the Antichrist is the ultimate manifestation of false teaching. The Antichrist. The Antichrist who will come in the tribulation. The Antichrist who will be the leader of the revived Roman Empire. The Antichrist will be the ultimate manifestation of false teaching. Lies and false teaching. Five. The many false teachers of today, all throughout America, are the precursors of the Antichrist in the tribulation. The many false teachers of today, all throughout the United States of America, are the precursors of the Antichrist in the tribulation. So we have corrected translation, because many deceivers, many false teachers have gone out into the world. The ones who do not acknowledge and who do not teach Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. That is, they reject the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. This one is the deceiver and the Antichrist against Christ. Now, in the Apostle John's day, these Antichristos, these false teachers, were known as Gnostics. We don't use that term today for these Antichrist false teachers today. But in John's day, that was the name that they had, Gnostics. And their false doctrine was known as Gnosticism. And they got their name from the Greek word gnosis. G-N-long-O-S-I-S, gnosis. And gnosis means knowledge. Knowledge. Gnosis means knowledge, and then there's another word that was used back then, gnostes. G-N long O-S-T long E-S, gnostes. And gnostes means someone who was an expert in knowledge, an expert in knowledge. Well, these were the name of the false teachers in John's day. A couple of things. One, the Gnostics were very impressed with their human knowledge and their human IQ. Very impressed with who and what they were and what they knew. Very impressed with their human knowledge and their human IQ. Many of them considered themselves to be Christians. And they borrowed heavily from Christian vocabulary. Two, so the Gnostics were very impressed with knowledge, but not the aletheia, not the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. So the Gnostics were very impressed with knowledge, gnosis. But not the knowledge of the God-breathed scriptures. Three, the Gnostic teachers combined Christianity with the assumptions about God and the world held by most people of their day. So the Gnostic teachers sought to combine Christianity with the thinking, the assumptions about God and the world held by most people of their day. Four, they tried to combine Christianity with contemporary philosophy. Very impressed with philosophy. They combined Christianity with mythology. They combined Christianity with astrology. So they tried to combine Christianity with contemporary philosophy, mythology, astrology. Five. They totally rejected the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. They totally rejected the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. God is one in essence and three in personality. And eternally, God has been one in essence and three in personality. The Son didn't have a beginning. He was eternally the Son of God. The Spirit didn't have a beginning. Eternally the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. God is one in essence. One in essence. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have the exact same essence, the exact same attributes. All three members have sovereignty and righteousness and justice and virtue, love, and eternal life. And all three members have omniscience and omnipresence, omnipotence, immutability, veracity. And they've always had it from all eternity past to all eternity future. The Son never had a beginning in his hypostatic union. He had a beginning on that very first Christmas. The greatest miracle the world will ever know. So point five, they totally rejected the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. They believe that the statement that God became man, the Gnostics said that was impossible. That was impossible to the Gnostic because in their thinking, God and matter do not mix. So they absolutely, totally rejected the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. Six, the Gnostics taught that Jesus was just a man. Look, the religious leaders in Jesus' day, they thought he was just a man. They didn't believe that he was the Messiah. They rejected him as the Messiah. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to crucify him, and they did. They cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And when the Romans did nail him to a cross, they stood at the foot of the cross with all kinds of satanic statements. See, if you're the Son of God, save yourself. Come off that cross. Well, he is the eternal Son of God with true humanity. If he comes off the cross, he could have done that. Now you see, if I was up there and they said do that, I'd have come off the cross and beat the crap out of every one of those guys. That just shows you that I'm not the Messiah. I know some of you, I don't think any of you thought I was the Messiah. You can't even save yourself. How are you going to save others? Well, he stayed on the cross because of impersonal love for all mankind. And he was, from his free will, willing to go there. From his free will, he was willing to receive the sins of the whole world. Your sins. My sins. And he was willing to take the judgment for those sins. Once and for all. He did that willingly. So that now, anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life. Jesus Christ loved the world with impersonal love for all. God the Father loved the world with impersonal love for all. God loved the world so much, he gave his uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. So the Gnostics taught that Jesus was just a man, the natural son of Joseph and Mary, and nothing else, and definitely not deity. Not the Son of God who took on true humanity through the incarnation and virgin birth. Seven, therefore these false teachers totally denied the deity of Jesus. These false teachers totally denied the deity of Jesus. For the Gnostics, evil is associated with matter and ignorance a lack of knowledge, a lack of gnosis, and distortion. 8, salvation for the Gnostics was illumination. Illumination, acquiring knowledge, acquiring gnosis through philosophy, mythology, astrology. Nine, therefore, their false gospel is getting knowledge. Getting knowledge and more knowledge and more knowledge, illumination, and their false doctrine. So their false gospel is getting knowledge, illumination, and their false doctrine. 10, these false teachers taught a false gospel and they taught false doctrine. These false teachers taught a false gospel and they taught false doctrine. And Satan used these false teachers all over Asia Minor. All over. Because this kept unbelievers, kept them unbelievers, and it got believers trapped in his cosmic system out of the spiritual life. At this time, this was one of the most powerful satanic strategies in the world at this day. And one of these false teachers of Gnosticism was in the Apostle John's congregation. His name was Cerinthus. The epistles of John are actually a polemic against Corinthian Gnosticism. And that goes for 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Cerinthus was influencing many believers in John's congregation. And both believers and unbelievers throughout Asia Minor, spreading a false gospel and false teaching about the person of Christ. Cerinthus denied the deity of Christ. He denied that the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. He can't do that if he's just a man. He denied that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He taught that Jesus was just a man, the natural son of Joseph and Mary. He denied the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ, the eternal Son of God. He denied the hypostatic union of Jesus. He taught that Jesus was only humanity, and that was it. That was as far as it went. Not undiminished deity, not true humanity united in one person forever. He totally denied that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ and his salvation work on the cross. So verse 7 again says, because many deceivers, many false teachers have gone out into the world, the ones who do not acknowledge and who do not teach Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh, that is the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. This one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. All right, take a look at this again. 1, right now in these last days of the church age, right now in the United States of America, Satan is using false teachers to prepare the way for his man, the Antichrist of the tribulation. Right now. right now in these last days of the church age, right now in the United States of America and around the world, Satan is using false teachers to prepare the way for his man, the Antichrist of the tribulation. 2. As in John's day, these false teachers are deceivers, and Antichrist, they are against Christ. Just as in John's day, these false teachers today are deceivers and Antichrist, they are against Jesus Christ. And you can see that. If you can't see that in America, you are the enemy. For most of the people in this country, you're the enemy. Jesus Christ is the enemy. God is the enemy. The Word of God is the enemy. Bible-believing Christians that believe the absolute truth of the Word of God, we're the enemy. Three, these false teachers are against Christ, and they are against Bible-believing Christians. Now, there's a lot of Christians in America, just not that many Bible-believing Christians. Point four. What makes up these false teachers today in America? These false teachers today include politicians. Oh, lots of politicians. It includes socialists. We have so many socialists in America. Marxists. Liberals. And religious leaders. These false teachers today include politicians, socialists, Marxists, liberals, religious leaders. Five, these deceivers and antichrists right now are promoting globalism. These deceivers and antichrists right now are promoting globalism, which will culminate in a one world government ruled by the Antichrist in the tribulation. Globalism, internationalism. Six. This globalism includes political internationalism. Political internationalism. This includes the United Nations. The United Nations is a modern-day Tower of Babel. This globalism right now, as we speak, includes religious internationalism. Religious internationalism, the ecumenical movement. The ecumenical movement all over the world. The World Council of Churches. This globalism includes, third, a one world currency. A one world currency. Already we see in America, they don't want you to use cash. They don't want you to use cash. They want you to use credit cards. That way they can keep track of everything you do. Well, I cut up all my credit cards. And I go in And they always say, you're going to pay with your card? And I go, no. I'm a dinosaur. Cash. Cash. None of their damn business what I do, what I buy. You use credit card? Oh, they know everything about you. But then you use their cell phone, they know everything about you. Everything you get on your computer, they know everything about you. You think you have privacy? You have no privacy! They know everything about you. Now they know on my computer that I like the Golden Knights. They know that I check the weather. And that's about all they know about me. One world currency. 7. Today, all the necessary physical components that would make a one-world government possible are here. They're here. They're alive and well. All the necessary physical components that would make a one-world government possible are here right now. For example, instant communication around the globe. Now that's an absolute necessity for a one world government to operate and to maintain its power. And this instant communication is possible because of satellites, computers, iPads, iPhones, internet devices, artificial intelligence, television, radio. It's all there. It's right now available. So instant communication around the globe, it's all here now. Secondly, rapid transportation is another necessity that is now available. And this includes the rapid deployment of troops anywhere in the world. And third, supercomputers, which bind the world together with electronic data. This also is in operation right now. And this also includes artificial intelligence. So, because many deceivers, false teachers, have gone out into the world, the ones who do not acknowledge and the ones who do not teach Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, the incarnation, the rejection of the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. This one is the deceiver. This one is anti-Christ, against Christ. Well, that gets us started in this paragraph. We have a lot of things yet ahead of us. It's only one chapter, only 13 verses. But there's a lot here. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that the absolute truth of your word becomes more real to us than the air that we breathe. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.